All right, today we are wrapping up this short series, a two-week series we've been in called Soundtracks. Now, when I hear soundtracks, I immediately think of movies. I enjoy a good movie. And as you're in the summer, there's kind of like this, always the summer blockbuster movies, you know, that come out. And some of those movies have these iconic soundtracks. Like, I think, coming out soon, or maybe it's already out, is another Mission Impossible. Like Mission Impossible number 37 or something like that. I'm not sure. I don't know. Tom Cruise is like a robot. I don't know how he does it all. But, all right, Mission Impossible is one of those movies where it has this iconic soundtrack, right? You hear it and you know, oh, that's a Mission Impossible movie. James Bond, all the James Bond movies are another one that have this iconic soundtrack. But I think, like, the most iconic soundtrack, in my opinion, is the Star Wars movies. And I love to sit down and watch the Star Wars movies, and right from the very beginning, right, you hear the power of the soundtrack. And so just imagine, right, staring at the screen, you got Star Wars movie, the blue letters, right? A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And then this. Wait a minute. Something's not quite right. Does this sound off? Does this sound a little weird to you guys, maybe? Maybe? All right, so like a few fans get it, and I've made them really mad. And then lots of people are like, what? What was it? It's the wrong soundtrack. It's a Star Wars opening sequence with Star Trek The Next Generation theme song. It's the wrong soundtrack, right? It's the wrong soundtrack. But it's fine, right? Because they're essentially the same thing, aren't they? They're essentially the same thing, right? Oh, I'm making some people even more mad, right? You can come assault me in the lobby afterwards, right? By the way, Star Trek The Next Generation is the best Star Trek out of all of them, so just saying. No, it's the wrong soundtrack. When it's the wrong soundtrack, something just isn't quite right, is it? And that's kind of the whole point of the series. Luke ended last week, you know, with a little clip from the Titanic. But this is a point we want to make. Because some of us are living life with the wrong soundtrack. When you don't have the right soundtrack, things are just a little bit off. And maybe some of the things you're facing in life, some of the struggles or ways that you're frustrated, that you feel maybe stuck, is perhaps because you're living with the wrong soundtrack. And so this series is based off of a book from a guy named John Acuff called Soundtrack. And in this book, he just proposes this idea that soundtracks are the mental playlists that play in our minds. There are thought patterns that just play on repeat over and over and over again. And so when we talk about living with the wrong soundtrack, maybe some of us are living with the wrong thoughts. That we have these thoughts that play over and over and over again. And maybe they're not true. Maybe we have thoughts where it's like, I'm not good enough. Or thoughts where it's like, nobody loves me. Or I'm just a failure. Or maybe you have soundtracks, you have these thoughts that seem a little positive, but they're equally destructive. Thoughts like, well, I'm better than they are. I deserve this. Well, no one can do it as good as me, so I guess I'm just going to have to do it all. Right? We all have these thoughts that just play on repeat in our mind. And if they are not lined up with God's truth, if they're not lined up with the reality that God created, you're living with the wrong soundtrack. And your life's going to struggle. It's going to suffer. And so with this series, we're asking you to think about what you're thinking about. Because sometimes we just let those play like unexamined, just cycle through our minds. Think about what you're thinking about. And maybe you're like, okay, Brent, like, I get the thought thing, but what really matters is your actions, right? Like, I can have all these crazy thoughts in my mind, but what really matters is what do I do? How do I live them out? And I say, yeah, there's truth to that, but I would argue our thoughts influence our actions. There's this famous quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, right? He says this, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. And that trajectory of your life is all built upon a thought. Maybe you still don't believe me just yet. Let me use a sports analogy, okay? Let's say you're playing baseball and you step up to bat. And as that pitcher's winding up the pitch, you're sitting there waiting and you're thinking, your thoughts are saying, I'm a horrible hitter, I'm a horrible hitter, I'm a horrible hitter. Are you more or less likely to connect with that ball as it crosses the plate? Right? We understand our thoughts impact our actions. That's why athletic teams spend lots of money on sports psychologists to work with the professional athletes to get their mind in the game, to work on the mental aspect of the game, because our thoughts impact our actions. And so some of us, we've been living with the wrong soundtrack playing on repeat in our minds, thus causing us to live in ways that aren't in the way that God created us to live. We're finding friction and challenge in our life because of the wrong soundtrack. So with this series, we're just challenging us to think about this, because I would argue the thoughts in our minds, the soundtracks in our minds, getting those right is a crucial part of our faith journey. Right, so if you remember, the last series we finished up before we started this series was a series we launched at Easter called Brand New. And through that whole series, we were talking about this beautiful, beautiful truth of the gospel, that the moment that you place your faith and trust and decide to follow Jesus, you have a brand new identity. You become a brand new person. And every week of the series, we read this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And so when you make that decision to follow Christ, you become a new person. You have a new citizenship. You're a citizen of heaven. You have a brand new family. You're a child of God. God has adopted you into his family. You have a brand new identity, and your past no longer applies to you. So all of those things in your past that you've done, all your failures, all of your mistakes that you feel shame and guilt about, they've been taken care of on the cross. And when you apply that to your life, when you choose to follow Jesus, you are made brand new, and you have been clothed in Christ. It's a fancy church word called justification. Right? That's been taken care of. You've been made right with God. And so when God looks at you, he sees you through the cross, and he sees you as holy and perfect, as if you have never sinned. And that is your new identity. You are brand new in that moment. But many of us bring old habits and old thought patterns along with us into this new life. And so the challenge of maturing in your faith is working through those things so that your actions and your life begin to resemble the true identity of how God sees you. And it's this lifelong process of letting the Holy Spirit transform us from the inside out. It's a fancy church word called sanctification. So justification happens the moment you follow Christ, your new identity. God sees you as a new person. Sanctification is the lifelong process of letting the Holy Spirit transform you so that you live more and more and more like the Savior that you follow. So the thoughts that we have in our minds are a crucial part of that. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person." How? By changing the way you think. Because our soundtracks that play, the thoughts that just play in our mind, they matter. And so part of becoming this new person, part of letting your actions live into the new identity, the reality of who you are, is by letting God change the soundtracks in your mind. Now, I will acknowledge this is easy to say, but incredibly hard to do. If it was easy to do, then we would just be like, okay, change my thoughts. We're good. Let's go. No, but the problem is we have these soundtracks that have been playing on repeat for years and years and years. You've been thinking these thoughts over and over and over again. And what happens is you dwell on those thoughts and you think them over and over again. You create these neural pathways in your brain. Our brains love efficiency. And so the more you think of something, your brain's going to kind of rewire itself so that it's easier and quicker to think those thoughts. It takes less energy to think those. And that's how our brains work. And so we've been playing these things on repeat. We've created these well-worn neural pathways in our brain. It's kind of like my yard. If you come and visit my house, you would see I have a dirt path all around the perimeter of our house, because my sons love to drive their go-kart and four-wheeler over and over and over on the same track. And over weeks and weeks and weeks of them driving, the dirt has been packed down firm. Grass will not grow through it, but it's this nice, smooth track. And the next time they hop on their go-kart or their four-wheeler, they're going to go on the same track because it's this nice, smooth track in the yard that they've formed over and over and over again. It's the same thing in our brains, that we think these thoughts, these soundtracks play on repeat for years, and it's created these well-worn paths in our brain. And so it's going to be difficult. It's not going to happen in an instant. It's going to take time and intentionality, and it's going to take God's help. But it's possible, because God wouldn't ask us to think of different things. He wouldn't put that into his word if it wasn't possible for us to do. And so with his help, through the help of the Holy Spirit, I truly believe we can change the way we think. We can swap the old soundtracks that are holding us back with the soundtracks of God's truth. And so we want to talk today. We take all these things that Pastor Luke talked about last week, and I just want to put them together and say, okay, if that's possible, then what does that look like? Practically, how do we do that? How do we replace these things? And so I just want to walk through a process. It's one that I've done in my past, and as God kind of identified some wrong soundtracks that I'd been believing and listening to in my mind, and been able to replace it with God's truth. And so I'm just going to use my life as an example and take one of those things and just kind of hold up as a example of how to walk through this process. So the first step is that you take a piece of paper and you just draw a line right down the middle. And then the first step is this. You have to capture your thought. Right? Capture your thought. So if you're taking notes, you can kind of number one blank, but capture. So in 2 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, we capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Well, before you can teach a thought to obey Christ or replace a thought, you have to first capture. And this is the whole idea of, like, think about what you're thinking about. And so this whole process, I would strongly encourage that it's a prayerful moment. It's an exercise. And so when you start, just take a moment and pray to God. God, help me identify any thoughts or soundtracks that I have in my head that are not true, that are contrary to you. And then you have to think about what you think about. It's like, what are things, in an average day, what thoughts pop in my head and what things come up over and over again? And maybe let God help you identify. So you have to kind of capture that and take that in mind. So for me, when I went through this process in my past, one thought, God kind of put his finger on one soundtrack that I'd been listening to. And it was this. I had this soundtrack that I was listening to. I had this repetitive thought that I told myself, I can't fail. I can't fail. I can't fail. Right? So God kind of put his finger on, okay, capture that. So then what's the next step? You capture your thought. Next step is to investigate. You get curious about your thoughts. Sometimes we come across our thoughts and we're like, we kind of run away from them, but get curious. So I had to sit and I had to think, why is this always in my mind? Why am I always thinking this? Why is this a story I'm telling myself? And maybe some of the soundtracks you have and the thoughts you have, maybe they come from something that happened to you in your past. Maybe a time that you've been hurt or wounded and you've developed this thought in response to that. Maybe the thoughts or soundtracks we have come just from the culture that we live in, something that our culture holds up as true but really doesn't line up with God's truth. Maybe it's your family of origin and the family you grew up had this certain thought or belief that got passed on to you and you've just assumed that it's true, but you've never taken the time to really investigate it. Why do I have this thought and where does it come from? And this doesn't happen in a moment. This takes time. And it takes time to pray through and think about it, but also talk to other people. Invite other people into the process, trusted mentors or friends or a counselor, just to talk through, like, and I feel like God's wanting me to think about this thought, and I don't know where it comes from. I don't know why it's always in my mind. And just get curious and start pulling the strings to kind of see, because most of our thoughts, especially the soundtracks that we have, there's usually something underneath those that's feeding into those. And so for me, as I went through this process, God kind of pointed out, I have this thought pattern, the soundtrack, I can't fail. Where does that come from? And I began to realize through some conversations and some reflection that I had this thought, that failure was weakness. God help me understand. Underneath that soundtrack of I can't fail was this belief I had that to fail meant that I was weak. And I have to be strong. I don't want to be weak. I got to be strong. So if I got to be strong, that means that I can't fail. So I have to do everything in my energy to not fail. And it's all built on this assumption that failure's weakness. I don't want to be weak. I want to be strong. And so it's created this soundtrack that I played in my mind that affected then how I lived out my life. And so then part of the investigation, not only kind of asking and getting curious about where it's at, but then you begin to evaluate it. So you hold it up to God's truth, right? Think about if you're anybody that loves to go fish, you know, and there's certain restrictions on sizes. Like, so you catch your fish, you reel it in, and then you have to like evaluate it. Say, is this the right size for me to keep? If it's not, then I got to throw it back in, right? We do the same with our thoughts. So the Apostle Paul gives us this evaluation tool in Philippians chapter 4. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Now, I just want to pause right here because this is profound. We got to kind of read through this. We don't think about it. He says, fix your thoughts. In other words, he's saying, control what you think about. Because a lot of times we think that our thoughts are just out of control in our mind, but you have control of your thoughts. You can't always control the random things that pop into your mind. Like, there's some weird stuff that pops into my mind. But I can control what I dwell on and what I think on and what I let play on repeat. We can control that. It's not easy, but it's in your control. And so he's saying, fix your thoughts. And then he gives us this like framework. He says, fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. It's this evaluation tool to say, does this soundtrack line up with those realities? And so last week, Pastor Luke took that scripture and he kind of boiled it down to just three questions. Because I have trouble remembering like a list of eight things, but I can remember a list of three. So he just posed these three questions to help us evaluate. Is it true? Is it helpful? And is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? So I had to take my soundtrack and I had to run it through that filter. Okay, is this true? I can't fail. Is that true? I may look perfect, but I'm not. And I will fail, right? Like, no, I can't possibly attain that, right? Is it true that failure is weakness? Well, maybe not, right? Maybe that's part of the process to grow. So, is it true? No, it's not true. So then I'd ask, is it helpful? And this is where it gets a little tricky because sometimes the soundtracks that we let play on repeat can actually help us accomplish some things and do some good in our life, even if they aren't true. Right? So for me, I had this belief, I can't fail. So that caused me to work extra hard and to hustle and to try to control all these things to make sure that nothing would go wrong and nothing would fail. Right? It caused me to work all this way. And that actually helped me accomplish some things. Right? Everybody's like, oh, Brent's got such a good work ethic. No, I'm just neurotic and think that I can't fail, right? And so in some ways it looks like it's helping, but what's the quality of my life? Stress, worry, exhaustion, anxiety. Well, that's not helping me. And then if failure is part of how we grow, right? You learn from your mistakes. If I'm not allowing myself to make any mistakes, then I'm not growing. And there were things in my life that I chose not to do, experiences that I chose not to step into because I was afraid I would fail, and failure is weakness. And so I missed out on some really cool opportunities. I missed out on some potential growth because I held the soundtrack. And so no, it's not helpful. Okay, is it kind? Is it kind? Well, I would never hold this belief to somebody else. I would never expect someone else to be perfect. So why am I holding that same standard to me? I'm not being kind to myself. Right? So it didn't pass the truth test. It didn't pass the helpful test. It didn't pass the kind test. Odds are this soundtrack probably is not from God. It's not God's soundtrack. It's probably some false belief that I've created somewhere along the way. Right? So that's how the investigation stage works. You capture your thought. You get curious about it. You investigate it. You hold it up and analyze it to God's truth. Is it true, helpful, or kind? And once you determine, nope, this isn't from God, I gotta chuck that back in the lake. I gotta get rid of this thought. The next step is to replace it. To replace the thought. Because you can't just stop thinking about something, you have to replace it with another thought. And so you want to begin to find if this isn't God's truth, then what is? And is there a corresponding truth from God that lines up with this false belief I've been believing that I can replace it with? And again, this takes time. takes time to read through scripture, to get to know God's truth, to talk to people and to begin to learn. And so over the process for me, as God identified this, as I got curious and investigated it, and then God led me to this scripture in 2 Corinthians 12. And this is a moment where the Apostle Paul has been talking about a thorn in his flesh. He's been talking about this thing that he feels is hindering him and holding him back. And he pleaded again and again and again that God would take it away. And Jesus answers his prayers and he says, no. And he says, why? And so Jesus says this to Paul. He says, my grace is all you need. Well, that jumped out to me right away because I was giving myself no grace. I can't make a mistake. I can't fail. There's no grace in that. And Jesus is saying, no, I have all this grace for you. My grace is all that you need. And then listen to what Jesus says. For my power works best in weakness. And so then Paul makes this declaration. He says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I came across this truth, I realized, man, this belief, trying to avoid any weakness, trying to avoid any failure, that actually kept me from experiencing Christ's power in my life. Because I was trying to control everything instead of trusting Christ to control it. And so I had to develop, okay, what's this new truth that I have to replace this thing with? And so then I just kind of summarized it this way, that weakness equals Christ's strength. When I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, then I am strong. Right, so I had to let go of this old soundtrack and try to work to replace it. Well, how do you do that? What does that look like? And this is the fourth and final step. You have to repeat it. You have to repeat it. And I would argue that this is the most difficult step in the whole process. Because we have these neural pathways in our brain. And for years, we've been thinking this soundtrack. And we've trained our brains to think this soundtrack, right? So the moment that I begin to struggle with something, this thought's going to pop in my head because I've trained my brain to think it. I can't fail. I can't fail. And we have to learn to replace it. And so you have to repeat it over and over and over again. You have to hear yourself saying it. You can't just think. You got to say it out loud to yourself. Science has shown that there's different parts of your brain that are activated when you hear yourself speaking out loud versus just thinking something. So hear yourself say it out loud. Write it on the bathroom mirror. Write it on post-it notes. Remind yourself and repeat it over and over and over again. And it's not going to be an instant thing. It's a long process. And this is, you talk to my wife, this is a process for me. And just this morning, I think God was playing tricks on me, like wanting to put me to the test this morning. Just this morning, knowing that I'm preaching about this soundtrack of I Can't Fail, and I discover that in that little handout you got on the way in, that I had a typo in the handout. That I failed putting the handout together. And I had this moment this morning where I'm like, ugh. I'm like, no, it's okay. It's okay, right? So I'm a work in progress. It takes time. But this is what happens. As you repeat that soundtrack, that godly truth over and over and over again, you're doing the hard work of creating a new path. And it's going to take intentionality. It's going to take effort. It's going to take God's help. But you got to bust out the machete and you got to start hacking through the jungle of your mind to build a new trail. But over time, you think it again and remind yourself and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And you're going to begin to create this new path in your brain where God's word resides. And you'll begin seeing God's word begin to take root and grow and develop fruit. And you're going to see your life slowly begin to change. It's going to take time. It may take years, but it is possible to change your soundtracks. And I know sometimes you can hear this and you think, oh, well, that's like the self-help stuff, right? Like if I speak it, I can manifest it into reality or whatever. And I would argue that's not effective because you're just speaking your own thoughts to yourself. What this is meditating on God's word. And I would argue there's power in God's word. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, he said this about God's word. Isaiah 55. He says, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. And catch this. He says, it is the same with my word. The same way, like he sends rains and it waters the seed and it takes root and begins to grow and eventually produces fruit. God's word can do that. It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So when you put God's word in your mind and you meditate, repeat, that's what it is, repeating it over and over and over. You're meditating on God's word, on this truth, and you're building new pathways in your brain so that slowly over time, you'll think less of those old soundtracks and your mind will go more to the new soundtracks. And you'll begin seeing your life change. You'll begin seeing this fruit produced in your life. And it's one of the ways that God helps us live into our new identity to become a new person by changing the way we think. Getting rid of the old soundtrack, capturing a thought, investigating it, replacing it with God's truth and repeating it over and over and over again. One last scripture I just want to share, 2 Corinthians 10. Paul writes, he says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. And some of us, we have these false beliefs that we've just been letting live rent-free in our mind over and over and over again. But we can use God's weapons to destroy that. He says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. And I want to just point out, it's not an intellectual knowing. It's experiencing the presence of Christ. And some of us, we're stuck in these false soundtracks that are holding us back, that are taking us down paths in our life that take us away from God. And we don't intimately experience the goodness of God until we change those soundtracks and begin to change how we live our life. And then we can know him and experience his love and his mercy and his grace firsthand. It's transformative. So we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, and we capture those rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. It's possible. It's not easy, but with God's help, we can change the soundtracks and replace it with God's truth. So as we wrap up, I just want to do something a little bit different to end our service today. I want to just give some space for you to begin this process. So on your way in, you should have received like a half sheet of paper. And on it, on one side are all the false beliefs. And what I did is I pulled from a bunch of different resources and I pulled what I thought were common false beliefs in our culture today. In conversations I've had with people over the years, some of the false soundtracks that they listen in me that I've found in myself, some of the false soundtracks and false beliefs that I listen to and let play on repeat. And so in the next couple minutes, I just in silence, I invite you within a prayerful moment just to read through that list and ask God to maybe point one of those out to you. Maybe one of those will stick out to you and you can begin the process, right? Capture that thought and then begin getting curious about it and start today in these next couple moments what you can continue in the weeks and months to come as you learn to replace these soundtracks. All right, pray with me as we invite God into this time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your truth, that it is possible to know your truth, that Jesus, you are the truth, and we can know you. So we invite you into this moment, Lord, and we ask you to lead us, to maybe point out some wrong soundtracks that maybe we've been listening to, and help us begin the process of changing those out and replacing them with your truth. So God, we invite you to speak in these next couple of minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.